Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Tuesday, December 7th, 2021. Stand up for your country. So the big story today is Biden-Putin on the phone. Now, I'm going to try to give you every aspect of this without making it boring. All right, so let's start with Putin. We're looking at him now. Putin loves this. So Putin is a narcissist. He loves worldwide attention. Now he's on a par with the president of the United States. And they spend 2 hours this morning here, afternoon or early evening in Russia. And Putin's just in his glory. In fact, the White House didn't put out many pictures, but Putin had those pictures out like that. So the Russian people could see that he, Putin, is a powerful master of the universe. See, that's where you start, because Putin is a provocateur. He has that in common with Donald Trump. They both provoke, okay? And they both love attention. And they both are very smart. And on policy, they both are ahead of most other people. Now, on Saturday, when we begin our history tour, I am going to talk extensively with Donald Trump about Vladimir Putin. And that's going to be fascinating, I think. All right, so Putin has massed troops on the Ukrainian border. This is way, way, way Eastern Europe. Ukraine is an independent nation, but has a minority of Russian, ethnic Russians living on its soil. You will remember that back in 2014, Putin just took Crimea, which is the port area on the Black Sea, from Ukraine. Just went in, took it over, put up the Russian flag, and said, blank you. Now, at the time, Barack Obama leveled a few sanctions, but, well, you know, and then Putin struts around Moscow, going, hey, macho man right here. Let's get the village people. Macho man. So you understand something, that when the Soviet Union collapsed under Bush the Elder because of Ronald Reagan's policies, the Russian people were humiliated. And their whole economy collapsed with the walls. And they were desperately poor. And they were looking for a strong man, a Mussolini-esque type person, to come in and straighten it all out. Well, Putin has not straightened it all out. What he's done is created an oligarchy where gangsters pretty much run the Russian economy. And then Putin gets a piece of everything. I mean, it's like killing the mob. Putin makes the mob look like Boy Scouts. So in Russia itself, there's still unbelievable poverty. All right, it's the biggest country in the world. Take a look at a map. Okay, and it's chaos. It's like no social services, no cable, no spin news. I mean, these people, they grow stuff and they farm and they try to eke out a living for 45 years before they die. But there's still a national pride. We're Russia. We defeated the Germans in World War II. Okay, Putin taps into all of that nationalism. And he pushes it as far as he can go. So Ukraine wants to become part of NATO and to have a very strong relationship with the United States. This is the Hunter Biden stuff, all right, when Joe Biden was vice president. Ukraine knows its survival pretty much is on us because we send them weapons, we help them economically, and they hate Russia, okay, the Ukrainian government. So they want to be as close to the United States as possible. And NATO is, they want in. Now, Putin is basically saying to Biden, you put NATO on the table with Ukraine, we're taking it over. We're just taking it over, the whole country. All right? But if you assure us that Ukraine isn't going to be part of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, then we'll work it out. But he puts the troops on the border to show Biden, I can take this country in 20 minutes, which he could. Now, Putin doesn't want NATO in there for obvious reasons. You get air bases, you get a very close watch on Russia, it's adjacent. So that's what this is all about. Now, Biden has a big card, and I've told you this in the past. He can bring, the United States can bring, okay, Russia to its knees economically through the international banking system. So all Biden have to do is issue an executive order to all U.S. banks, but that extends worldwide. You don't do business with Putin. You don't loan him anything. You don't accept credit cards that are used in Russia. Boom, Russian economy collapses. Putin knows that. Whether Biden knows it or not, I don't know. But that's a big club to have. We're not going to go to war over UK. It's not going to be a shooting war. But if Biden is cognizant, that's a big if, I don't know. And this is what Trump did. So Putin didn't mess too much with Ukraine under Trump because Trump made it clear, you do that, we're going to break you. All right, but they say it in, not like I'm saying it, they say it in gentle diplomatic terms. All right, so that's where it is, and that's what happened today. So Putin, Biden phone call, 2 hours. And then I turn it on. Why, I don't know why I turn on the television anymore. And then they go, whoa, we should see a transcript. And I go, these people know nothing. They're never going to put out a transcript because Putin didn't ever get on the phone again. And neither would Xi in China. What's the matter with you morons? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the, about these people on that purport to be news people. They don't know anything. Okay. Now, what's going to happen over there? I assume not much. Because Biden would have to attack the Russian economy. He would have to. So I assume Biden would do that. He'd be done if he didn't do it. It would be all over for Biden. Putin probably isn't going to gamble here. Now, before the talk between Putin and Biden, last night Biden called Macron of France, Merkel of Germany, who's out today. This is Merkel's last day. Draghi of Italy and Boris Johnson of UK, and they basically said, look, this is what we'll all do. So it's not like one European nation isn't going to cooperate. They'll cooperate if we have to put economic sanctions against Putin. So that's where we are. And, you know, look, Putin's going to push Biden as far as he can. He doesn't fear him. Xi's going to do the same thing in China. Iran is basically giving Biden the finger. That's how disrespectful they are in the nuke talks. It's crazy. And Biden, you never know. I don't know. But what I just told you, they know in the State Department and the White House. I know they know that, as dim as they are. So I can't wait to get Trump's take on this on Saturday in Fort Lauderdale and Sunday in Orlando, Florida. Okay, new poll, Harvard-Harris, 1,989 registered voters. Trump versus Biden. 48% they would back Trump today. 45 Biden, 8 unsure. Evenly split among American women who broke for Biden last time, 46 each. And as far as Trump and other Republican possibilities for president, Trump's got 67% support in the GOP party. Vice President Pence, 9. Florida Governor DeSantis, 8. All right, so at this point, and that could change very rapidly, Donald Trump, if it were held today, would get the nomination. And he would beat Biden. Okay, same poll. Roe v. Wade. 54% say they oppose overturning Roe v. Wade. 46%, a very big number, say they want it repealed and to give the power about abortion back to the states. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to repeal Roe v. Wade. I do think they're going to give states more power to regulate what can and can't happen in the abortion mills. Okay, that's how I see it shaken down. Another poll, Gallup, 8 under 23 adults. Would you say you have a positive or negative image of socialism? Positive 38%, negative 59%. By party, positive or negative image of socialism, Republicans, 10% positive, 90% negative. Democrats, 65% positive. Now, that's the far left imposing its will on the Democratic Party. The younger people have no idea what socialism is. Okay, they have no idea. But it sounds good. Everybody gets the same power to the people, share the land. Bernie Sanders sharing the land up there in Vermont. I don't think so. He's got a big fence around his lakefront cottage. It's not a cottage. He's not sharing any land up there, Bernie. Anyway, but it's, you know, look, younger Americans grow out of it by the time they're 30, 35, and, you know, life is really kicked in. They usually change. But the Democratic Party was 65%. Think socialism's good. That's a problem for them. And if the Republicans are smart, they'll exploit that. Because these are radical people. And most Americans are not. So I hate to even cover this story because we do it and it's so repetitive. It's Chicago, it's violence. But there's something here that is a little bit different. So last weekend, 32 people shot, 9 killed. The dead, age 18 to 56, injured, age 12-year-old to 41. So that's in Chicago, the nation's third largest city. 30 people, 2 people shot, 9 fatally in 2 days. So the mayor, who, you know, it would be better for the Chicago way, all right, to quote Sean Connery in The Untouchables, we'd be better if they would impeach Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, and put in a seventh grader. Seventh grader could do a better job running Chicago than this woman. So here's what she says about the latest violence. Do you know where your kid is? Are you making sure you are talking to your children about how they need to act and behave when they are in large crowds? We've got to rely upon an urge and hold parents accountable, as well as when their kids are out downtown. Hold care. You won't even hold the criminals accountable, Miss Lightfoot. Okay, that's the problem. Now you want derelict parents to be held accountable? Come, this is just ridiculous. The woman's just absurd. De Blasio's worse. Let me get to De Blasio. Okay, so De Blasio in New York, he's got 3 more weeks. Thank God. But before he's out, he goes, everybody working in New York City has to get vaccinated. Of course, that's never going to happen. And then he says, your kids age 5 to 11 can't go for an ice cream sundae unless they have a Vax passport. So the new mayor coming in, Eric Adams, he's not going to do any of this. But De Blasio, the totalitarian communist, he's just tweaking everybody on the way out. He's the worst mayor ever in New York City, worse than Boss Tweed. Look him up, if you can believe it. And he just makes a fool out of himself. But there's a little bit of importance. If De Blasio had the power, he'd be a dictator. And if you didn't do what he said, he'd hurt you. Okay. The latest New York City atrocity, we have them every single day now. Man named Daryl Johnson goes out on the street. He's got a rap sheet all day long, 15 times arrested. Okay. And he hurts people on the street. Here's Daryl. So he goes out and he attacks a 50-year-old woman, assaults her, and slices up her face. Isn't that nice? Okay, then, same day, he assaults a 32-year-old woman a block away, punched in the face repeatedly by Johnson. Cops see it, get him. He's charged with 2 counts of assault with intent to cause physical injury. No bail. Out right away. Now, this is New York State. So you can carve up a woman's face and then punch another woman within an hour, get arrested, go in and be arraigned, and they let you go. New York. You want progressives? Then you're going to have blood in the streets. And I mean serious blood in the streets. Because that's what we have now. Lightfoot, progressive. De Blasio, progressive. All the nuts in San Francisco, progressive. The people who run LA, progressive. Portland, Oregon, can't even go there, progressive. Maybe you see a pattern? Oh, geez. Makes me so angry. Imagine if it was your mother, or he's just walking down a street, he got something in the knife, slices it, and he's out? You don't want to hold him? 15 arrests? Briefly on this, because I told you yesterday, I laid it out, I hope you saw the news yesterday, how that Cuomo thing, Chris Cuomo thing, really happened. All right, I gave you the whole game plan. Well, now Cuomo has hired an attorney, as I predicted, named Brian Friedman, you know, basically threatening CNN with a lawsuit if CNN doesn't pay out his contract. He's got 3 years left. CNN will pay out his contract because then the lawyer will go in, he'll put Zucker, you know, on a deposition, and it'll be a bloodbath. Talk about a literal, not a literal bloodbath, but a figurative one. All right. So I get a lot of mail about TV. All right, now I have weaned myself off most television because it's just moronic. I don't want to see The Masked Singer, all right, or Dancing with Felons. I just don't. I watch Blue Bloods Friday night, excellent show. I try to watch 60 Minutes, which I've watched my whole life. I can't get through it anymore, very slow now. And that's it, sports. You know, the game on, I want to see, I'll watch it. But I'm not engaged much in television anymore. I've got to read an enormous amount to stay as smart as I am. I mean, you know, right? So anyway, I'm getting mail about TV commercials, which I never watch. As soon as the commercial goes on, it's muted. And it says, look, what happened? What happened? Now every TV commercial is woke. And yeah, it's happening. Roll the tape.
Hey, Gracie. You know how our family has daddy and mommy?
And me.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty soon, you're gonna have a baby brother.
And a puppy.
Deal.
Okay, apparently that's a commercial for Cheerios. I don't know if the puppy's going to eat Cheerios. My terror dog won't. But I watch that. It doesn't bother me, but it apparently bothers a lot of people that this is what is being put forth. So we asked Adam Goulet. He is the accuracy and media, conservative news media watchdog. Wow. He works for them. And he comes to us from Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Very nice. Watch out for the sharks down there, Adam. You know, you get a little nip. Those bull sharks, they're all, they like Ponte Vedra. You got to be careful down there. Anyway, so have you heard anything? Is there a groundswell of why is this woke commercials? Why are they doing this? Have you heard anything about that?
You know, it's almost kind of a two-part scheme that they've been doing for years now. All of the content coming out of Hollywood is increasingly geared towards young people. It has to be safe for young people. We have to make sure that if the kid's in the room, they're not going to be offended by seeing it. But the real downside of that, aside from the fact that these kids end up being coddled, they end up being soft, the real downside of that is the kids are the most woke. So if we're going to make content that's geared towards the teenagers or the young people in this world, we're going to get the most woke content possible. Rather than individualism, they celebrate victimization. It's outrageous.
But, you know, a company like Cheerios, you know, you have to even look hard to figure out what, you know, they don't even say, hey, I want a puppy and Cheerios. That might be better. But a company like that, do you feel that that company is under social pressure and they want a virtue signal? Is that part of it?
All of corporate America is under social pressure. It's undeniable at this point. And they're terrified of the woke crowd. Even though they realize, you know, the phrase go woke, go broke is true, they are cowering in fear from the woke crowd. You see these companies like, you know, Nike, that has their shoes built in communist China where Uyghur Muslims are enslaved, and they stand up to Atlanta. They don't want to, you know, have the World Series there, but they'll never stand up to the Chinese. You see all of corporate America hiring equity officers to push their radical progressive ideas within their company. American Express is spending $1 billion pushing equity within the company. Give it 5 years, they're going to be anti-American Express. It's one thing to see progressivism in Hollywood or to see it in higher education. We're now seeing it in all of corporate America.
Now, I wonder if it's a good sales vehicle. You know, State Farm Insurance has got this guy. He's in every commercial, African-American guy, good actor, certainly pulls it off. But I wonder if that translates into higher sales. Has anybody studied, say, 5 years ago, and when commercials were just commercials, they weren't woke, and now they are woke? Is it a more effective tool for commerce?
Well, unquestionably, we know the phrase go woke, go broke ain't based on nothing. Consistently, we've seen Hollywood films made in a woke style. They fail. They rebooted Ghostbusters to appease the woke crowd. That failed. They do a non-woke version. It succeeds. What a surprise. The woke stuff consistently fails. But these folks are so terrified of the woke crowd in corporate America and in Hollywood. And it feels good to be praised by that woke crowd, that even though they know it's going to probably crush them with actual profits, even though they know it'll crush their movie, they do it because they're more terrified than the woke crowd are going bankrupt.
Your hypothesis is that the woke commercials aren't helping the bottom line in these corporations.
No, unquestionably not.
I'd like to see a study on it. Now, I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild AFTRA Union. And that's where all of the actors in the commercials come from. Got to be in that union. And 5 years ago, it was primarily Caucasian white actors getting the roles. And now it's not. Now it's minorities and women getting the commercials. Now that's upset some people inside the union, but not me. I say to people, look, for decades, white actors benefited because they were white. And the corporations didn't want to stir up anything. So now it's a good opportunity for actors of color to prosper. That's my point of view. Am I wrong?
My point of view is, let's hire, if I'm running a company or if I got an ad agency, I'm going to cast whoever's going to move the most product. My goal should be to move product and boost bottom lines, whether the character or the actor is black or white or any of that.
It's not. The Godfather. It's a commercial. It's a 30-second spot. Anybody could do it. So it's hard to say merit when you're casting a commercial. I mean, it's really hard to do. I want to get your opinion before I let you go on CNN. You're covering the story, you're following it, and what's your assessment?
Well, we parked at Accuracy in Media. We parked a mobile billboard outside outside CNN's office over the summer. Cuomo lied, thousands died, revoke his Emmy now. We went after them over the Chris Cuomo mess. It is an absolute disaster. And now Chris Cuomo claims that Zucker knew that he was helping Andrew Cuomo all along. It's unbelievable. These folks are activists pretending to be journalists. It's one thing for them to tell their left-wing audience what they want to hear, but to cover up stuff like this and to call yourselves actual journalists is just sickening and embarrassing. They should be ashamed of themselves.
So does CNN go out of business? There's a rumor they're going to get sold to a guy named John Malone. I don't know what he would do, but AT&T seems to be impotent to stop any of the chaos over there. What happens to CNN, say, a year from now?
They're in an incredibly difficult situation because they're flanked on the left by MSNBC. If you're a hard left viewer, you're probably watching MSNBC. And if you're not a hard left viewer, you're probably watching a network like this or Fox or OAN or Newsmax. So there's so little left in the middle these days, when really Americans are on one side or the other. There's so little left in the middle that there's nowhere for CNN to go. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I don't think there's a good situation for them.
I think they'll exist, but never again as a force in this country. Adam, thanks very much for helping us out. We really appreciate it. Here's a funny aside. So I'm doing a lot of interviews for the Trump O'Reilly History Tour in Florida and Texas. You know, obviously that's where the shows are. So one of my bookers calls yesterday and says, I can't get you on any NBC properties. They hate you. I said, they hate me? And they said, you're their leading critic. And so apparently Comcast, based in Philadelphia, monitors what we do here. Now, they should hate me, NBC, because they are the worst. They're worse than CNN. And they know better. They don't care. Money over honesty. The Pope. All right, so Pope Francis, who you know I like, all right? He goes to some islands in the Mediterranean, a Greek island. He goes to Cyprus to visit the migrants from Africa and from Middle East. So there's thousands of people living in these horrible camps on the islands in the Mediterranean Sea. So the Pope says that, look, I'm going to quote him. I ask every man and woman, all of us, to overcome the paralysis of fear, the indifference that kills, and cynical disregard that nonchalantly condemns to death those on the fringes, unquote. So he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. So if Jesus were alive today, Jesus would be on those islands. Jesus would be up in Belarus with all those thousands of migrants massed on a Polish border, and he'd be administering to them. But what Pope Francis doesn't address is the reality of all this. So if you live in Europe, you know that continent is cradle to grave entitlements. So people who live in Germany and in Belgium and Scandinavia, from the moment they're born, the government's in there, giving them this, 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 this. Now, they take all your earnings, not all, but much, especially with the VAT tax, but they don't have any money. So they can't bring in millions of refugees from Africa and the Middle East. I'm talking millions of people would leave Africa, an unbelievably corrupt continent, and come into Europe if they could. And the same thing in the USA. We've got a $30 trillion debt we're working on here. And Biden lets 3-4 million people in 11 months? Well, those people are going to need the government services. We can't afford it. But you never hear that from the Pope. Now, I'm not criticizing him because his job is to help people who are in need. It's not to be a politician. It's not to be an analyst like me. But if somehow the Vatican could craft a message, okay, that injected some reality, these countries, you have no idea how bad they are in Africa and the Middle East. You have no rights. Honduras, awful. In Mexico, in Cancun, one of their premier resorts, they got armed soldiers walking the beach with machine guns. That's Mexico. But the United States cannot absorb all this. $30 trillion in debt. And if our economy collapses, I'll tell you what, it's going to be violence here.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds in stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com. Promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
All right, this day in history is another fascinating story. 80 years ago today, Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Every one of us in this country was affected and is affected by that because of our parents and grandparents. The whole world, the whole country changed because the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Sneaky attack. All right, and it did a lot of damage. You can go to Pearl Harbor today and see 2,400 Americans killed, 1,178 wounded, all kinds of ships sunk because the USA did not know that the Japanese were going to do this. Now, there's conspiracies that say FDR knew and bull. I wrote the book, and I mean the book, Killing the Rising Sun. There, we couldn't find a shred of evidence. So what happened was that Japan was causing havoc all over Asia. They invaded Indochina, that's Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, just took it over. FDR slapped, just like Putin might get slapped, with economic sanctions. And Japan lost 88% of its imported oil. So the emperor and Tojo, the military dictator, said, we're not going to survive because we don't have any oil, so we got to attack and hopefully come to some arrangement. They knew they weren't going to beat the United States and occupy the USA. That would never happen. But Japan wanted to inflict as much damage so there would be some kind of treaty. Problem was that Hitler and Japan had a treaty as well. So as soon as Japan, 80 years ago, declared war on us, 3 days later, here comes Adolf. And boom, 80 million human beings killed during World War II. Now, my father, he was in it. I'm shaped by it. My mother volunteered. She was shaped by it. My grandfather was a war hero in World War I. And if you do your family history trace, You'll see the World War II, the greatest generation, they had a totally different value system than we have now in this country. And I'm part of that value system because I was raised in the greatest generation home. So that happened, Pearl Harbor, 80 years ago today. Okay, good lively mail segment and a final thought that I think it's worth it. Listen, I see this every day, but if there's any part of this broadcast that's boring, Bill at BillO'Reilly.com. Let me have it. Right back. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the USA? With more than 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. I have their trees and plants at my home, and they're fantastic. Have you had your fair share of landscaping woes and wasted weekends at crowded nurseries? Finding fast-growing trees will be like stumbling upon a hidden treasure, believe me. With fast-growing trees, it's different. From fruit trees to houseplants, they have it all delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And my audience can get an extra 15% off by using promo code Bill at checkout. So please go to fastgrowingtrees.com, use promo code Bill at checkout.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Bill. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/B-I-L-L.
All right, let's go to the mail. Thomas Cook, Happy Valley, Oregon. I think the vaccine thing comes down to one simple concept. Those like myself who are abstaining don't trust the government. Okay, that's all well and good. It's all well and good. Don't trust the government. I don't trust the government. I don't know many people trust the government. But the data says the more people vaccinated, the lower the transmission of COVID. That is the data. Sure, crossover cases, yes. But they're lighter than if you're unvaxxed. So I'm a big picture guy, Tom. If you think you're going to turn into a vampire in 6 years, okay. But the more people vaxxed, the quicker we're going to crush this thing. Jerry, Bill, didn't I hear you say you would have voted in favor of the Build Back Better bill? Now you say it's the biggest boondoggle you've ever seen. Jerry, I know it's complicated, but I said I would have voted for the infrastructure bill, which is passed and signed into law. There are two bills, okay? There's the boondoggle, Build Back Better, never in a million years would I vote for it, and the infrastructure bill 1.2, which I probably would have voted for. Janet, concierge member, I hope everybody will consider concierge membership. You almost make money by being a concierge member if you give gifts for Hanukkah or Christmas. So Janet says, truer words could not have been spoken about money. It provides security and freedom, saving and investing. In my younger years, has afforded me the security and freedom now. If only young people could understand that. Young people, immediate gratification. They get it. They want, I want, I want, I want. You're right. My father said you save 10% of your paycheck always. And I do. And did. And it worked. Alice, thanks, Bill. Great advice. I've always been careful with money as an immigrant. And we're now on our fourth house mortgage free. Fix them all up, sold them. There you go. Use the money. Money can build. Ben Mitchell, Westchester, Pennsylvania. Do you support paid family leave? To some extent. I'd have to see the price tag on it. I think dad's maybe 2 weeks, mom's 6, 7, to some extent. John Gian, New Orleans. Do you think refugees from blue states, people who move from blue states to red states, will continue to vote Democrat? Yeah. People don't throw off their ideology very easily. So you got a huge influx of New Yorkers going down to Florida. Most of those New Yorkers are going to vote Dem. Michael Gibson, St. Vincent in the Grenadines, that is in the Caribbean, West Indies. Beautiful. You ever get a chance to go down to Grenadines. So Michael says, I must say the best decision President Biden ever made is not to boycott the Olympic Games in China, but have a diplomatic boycott. I agree. You got to keep your enemies close, as Don Corleone once said. Who is going to fill Chris Cuomo's slot? I think young Sheldon, I think he's under consideration. He might not be left wing enough, though. Never seen that show, but kid looks. Mark Otis, Tualatin, Oregon, suburb of Portland. Hey, Bill, I wanted to let you know I'm hooked on the Killing series. Just ordered several books to complete my collection, Killing Lincoln, Killing Jesus. Thanks again. If you order the Killing series, you're going to save a lot of money. And you get it free if you re-up or you give a premium or concierge membership as a gift. Get any book you want free. Greatest deal. Okay, please go to the BillO'Reilly.com Christmas store. You know, I designed these little tree ornaments, God Bless America. This is our hottest selling item. It's even overtaking the Stand Up For Your Country stuff because it's very inexpensive and they look great. And then, again, there's lots of gifts and you'll save a ton of money if you check out our store. Where they do not be a moon calf. So it's M-O-O-N-C-A-L-F, one word. Call somebody a moon calf. First, you got to look it up, all right? Hey, stop being a moon calf. I guarantee you that'll the person. What? All right. I got a final thought about it's going to be a surprise. I'm not going to tell you what the final thought is. Right back.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Attention. If you owe the IRS, this is an important announcement. COVID relief is over and the IRS is ramping up like never before, sending out millions of collection letters to start 2024. Do you owe $10,000 or more or have unfiled returns? Now is the time to act. The IRS can garnish your wages, seize your property, and they can even take your home or your business. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. It's time to call Tax Network USA. Their team of experienced tax lawyers has already saved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. They know how to negotiate with the IRS and can help you too. Visit TNUSA.com or call 1-800-245-6000. Again, that's 1-800-245-6000. Don't wait until it's too late. Take control of your tax situation today with Tax Network USA. 1-800-245-6000. Call now.
All right, final thought of the day. Spent a large part of the morning setting up the first Trump show in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at the FLA Live Arena. So it's my production company that's running these four shows. And so I have to be on it. I mean, we got that. The security is the best I've ever seen in the world. So nobody's got to worry about that. Okay? And then we have people all over the place. You can ask the president questions after the show. You can tell us if you loved it or hated it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm getting a lot of questions about the Trump book, the picture book. Okay. I think they're out of them, but we have plenty of stuff. All my books, including the United States of Trump. So all of that's going to be sold. It'll be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Here's an interesting aside. I shouldn't say this, but I will. One of Donald Trump's requests to me was that we play his music before the show and during intermission. I said, sure, I like your music. He was thrilled. He goes, yeah. I said, you just give me the set list. We'll get that going. So this is really going to be fun. You'll learn a tremendous amount. But for me, it's really hard work. I mean, you know, I'm not nervous. I know what I want to do in the interview. And Miller and I went out on the road for 7 years and sold out everywhere. This, though, I mean, we're going to have more than 10,000 people in the FLA Live Arena in Sunrise, Florida. It's going to be humongous. So I'm going to be here tomorrow, as I mentioned yesterday. But Thursday, I'm going to be off. So maybe I'll go into one of those decompression chamber things. I don't know. But I got to clear my head, take a walk, got to get the questions where we're going to go with them. And then there are a million things, of course, of moving parts in these shows. But I'll tell you, it's worthwhile. If the shows go well, and I think they will. But anything could happen. You got O'Reilly, you got Trump. Anything could happen. But I'm prepared. We'll see you tomorrow.